Our readings this morning are taken from the book of Micah and from Romans. The Old Testament reading is Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now we turn to Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in death like this, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
So as we would come to reflect on Holy Scripture, let us pray together. So eternal God, we thank you for your word, and as we come now to reflect upon it, grant us the help of your Spirit in our understanding. Help us to hear what you are saying to each of us, and help us with your grace to respond appropriately for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you may have heard this quip before, but a minister told his congregation, "Next week I plan to preach about the sin of lying. And to help you understand my sermon, I want you all to read Mark chapter 17 for next week." And the following Sunday, as he prepared to deliver his sermon, the minister asked for a show of hands. He wanted to know how many people had read Mark chapter 17. And many hands went up, and the minister simply smiled and he said, "Well, the gospel according to Mark, of course, only has 16 chapters. I will now proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying." We know only too well that none of us are perfect, that all of us fall into sin. So today we're going to look at the lectionary reading from Romans chapter 6, which is really, really meaty and very poignant. But actually in the following chapter, in chapter 7, Paul continues talking about sin, and he talks about his struggle with sin. And I'm sure we can all identify with what Paul says in this, that we have to humbly admit. Along with Paul, he says, "I don't do the good that I want to do, but I do the evil I don't want to do." We constantly have that struggle, don't we? Almost that little idea of an angel and a devil on either shoulder, one tempting us to do something bad and one saying, "No, don't do it." And we have always that struggle. So many sermons are preached about sinning, and those sermons are often about personal sin and keeping holiness of life. And those are important messages that we need to keep on listening to and hearing. But today I want us to think not so much about personal sin, but more about societal sin. In other words, sin that is all around us in society. Another way to put this is simply, what are those values in our culture that are contrary to kingdom values? So let's reflect on Romans 6. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates verse 2 as the following: "If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we live in our old house there?" It's a very, very helpful way of putting it. Because in these verses, Paul is reminding the Christians in Rome that they should no longer be living in sin, because through baptism they have begun a new way of living. And of course, it speaks to us today. It isn't just about us personally transforming our lives to be more in sync with the Lord and his ways, but actually seeking to play our part in transforming the world around us with kingdom values. A lot has happened in the last 2 or 3 weeks, hasn't it? We've seen the death of George Floyd spark a worldwide movement against racism with the slogan, "Black Lives Matter." We looked at that last week, so I don't want to repeat myself, but we can say racism is clearly a societal sin. During this week, we've seen the Manchester United striker Marcus Rashford call on the government. See, Chris is now smiling with us. I'm making a reference to United. But he did so well with this, didn't he? A young man with such an influence, and he was brilliant. He called the government to reverse the decision and provide free school meals for children during summer holidays. That has sparked so much coverage and so much debate with an eventual U-turn with government policy. Perhaps you've heard of this quote. It's attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, but it was probably someone else who coined it first. "The true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members. The true measure of any society can be found in how it treats its most vulnerable members." We know only too well that our society has many ills, many sins, as does everywhere throughout the world. Sin prevents us personally, but also society as a whole, from thriving and flourishing as God has intended. So what we need to do is name those sins and address them. So my message today, I'm going to limit myself because of time, to simply naming two of what I think our major societal sins today: individualism and materialism. Individualism and materialism. So first of all, individualism. We know only too well Western culture has become very individualistic in nature. In many other cultures around the world, they're much more communal, genuinely looking out for the interests of another. But the world of the Bible was generally much more communal in nature than we tend to realize, which is why we often miss the depth or gravity of the context, because we read the Bible through our Western 21st century eyes. We can't do anything else but that. But in our individualistic culture, we have developed a rights culture. And these rights are often at the expense of others, or at least in opposition to another's rights. And at its very worst, this individualistic culture doesn't really care about its neighbor as long as I'm all right, as long as my needs are catered for. But this societal sin of individualism isn't only reserved for our culture in our generation. For example, in the Corinthian church in the first century, Paul addressed the issue of eating meat that had been offered to idols. Now, the tension arose that for some Christians, they had no problem with this. But the problem was that other Christians felt that it was a problem. So the conclusion was that those who felt that it was okay to eat the meat had the right to eat it. But Paul says, for the sake of the others who don't think you should eat the meat, then don't eat the meat. Because it's about being a community. It's about looking to the interests of another rather than self. In African culture, there is the idea of Ubuntu, which is part of a Zulu phrase, which I'm not going to even try to pronounce. My mother-in-law would laugh at me if I made any attempt at it. But it literally means, I am because we are. It brings out the understanding that a person is a person through other people. There's something really significant I think we need to learn about that. And this is actually particularly helpful for us in the church today. The idea of koinonia, of fellowship, is counter to this societal sin of individualism. God has created the church to be one body of Christ. And this culture of individualism has actually crept into the culture of the church. In this part of the world, at least, we have valued faith on a personal and private matter, rather than it being a communal one. And that's often led to a lack of discipleship and certainly a lack of accountability. But God has created us to be in community within the fellowship of the church. We are to encourage one another as together we walk with Jesus each day. Because the Christian faith isn't intended for it to be lived out alone. We do well to remember Paul's words to the Corinthian church about unity. When one part suffers, he said, all suffer. When one part gets the glory, all the parts celebrate with it. But actually what COVID-19 has allowed us to do is to demonstrate to the world around us, to our community, to our neighborhood, that as the body of Christ, as the community of believers, we are trying to model what it is to be a loving community in our neighborhoods, to bring that kindness and that generosity that Chris was talking about, and sometimes in very simple and quiet ways. To follow the values of God's kingdom is to seek to encourage community, which means looking out for others in our society, especially those who are weak and vulnerable. So that's individualism. There's so much more we could say about this. But let's look at what I want to suggest is the second societal sin that we need to reflect on. That is materialism. The stock exchange at Wall Street in New York is the symbol of Western culture's desire to accumulate wealth. Just outside, if you've ever been there, maybe seen photographs, is a huge 11-foot bronze statue of a bull. It's known as the charging bull. It is a it's a symbol of aggressive financial optimism and prosperity. That's the Western values. Remember what the Lord said to Moses, what we know as the Ten Commandments. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself. Do you recall, of course, how the Israelites worshipped the golden calf? Well, perhaps in the West it can be said that we now worship the bronze bull. One of this society's sins is the fact that we are so materialistic in nature. We desire to keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses must be very fast people because we're always trying to keep up with them. But of course, with COVID-19, many people are facing the real threat of losing employment, of losing some of their household income. For so long, our culture has led us to desire more and more wealth, to accumulate and accumulate more stuff. And so COVID-19 has caused a real shock to so many people in our society, because it's not just caused that shock health-wise, but also wealth-wise. So let's be reminded of those hopefully familiar words from Hebrews. Your way of life should be free from the love of money, and you should be content with what you have. Hebrews 13, verse 5. This past week, we've seen the shops reopening, and we've seen some of the huge queues that are there as people wait to spend their money. And of course, we need the economy to start back up again. Money is important in our life. But it is the love of money which we must be free from. Let's face it, many people, maybe even ourselves, this is true for ourselves, are slaves to money. When the desire to accumulate wealth is more important than spending time with family and friends, then you're a slave to materialism. Now, in saying this, my desire isn't to make anyone feel guilty about the wealth they have, because we know that we're called to be faithful stewards over what God has given to us. But it is merely to ensure that we observe the rampant materialism that is all around us. And as God's people, we are called to be countercultural, to value those things that are a part of God's kingdom. I suspect that one of the reasons why the church is growing in certain parts of the world and in not others is because they don't have wealth or the desire to accumulate material objects. This week, as I'm sure perhaps you will have heard, some heartbreaking stories of how people just aren't able to provide enough food for their families because they're not able to work due to COVID restrictions. And that's happening right on our doorstep, not in some far off place in a different part of the world, right here. I think we would do well to take to heart the words of Mahatma Gandhi, which Christian Aid have then used as their motto: live life simply so that others may simply live. I think that one of the challenges that will arise out of COVID-19 is how we respond in kindness and generosity to those who don't have enough food to eat because they don't have enough of an income. And this saying of Gandhi's, which Christian Aid used, speaks to us of how we look to counter the societal sins of individualism and materialism. So let me bring this to a close. One of those things that COVID-19 has done is to make us rethink, to press the reset button. And in looking at sin, and in particular societal sin, I've offered these two areas that we must address: individualism and materialism. There's a lot more, and I encourage you in conversation to reflect upon those other societal sins that we see around us that are contrary to the values of God's kingdom. Because as God's people, our task is to create little colonies of heaven on earth. Perhaps we can't change everything all at once, but we can do what we can do, and it does begin with us. Sin is anything that is opposite to the values of the kingdom of God. Anything that stops life from flourishing and thriving. And reflecting on Romans 6, we're reminded that the cross of Christ has dealt with sin. Our sin personally, individually, but also society's sin in the world. But nevertheless, much of society remains in slavery to sin, not least with individualism and materialism. So let's be encouraged to seek justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God, and in so doing, make what it is like up there in heaven be what it is like here on earth. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we know that there is so much sin and evil in the world. And we know that we ourselves struggle with sin. We want to do good things, but we fall into temptation. Father, forgive us, we pray, for those ways in which we encourage individualism, and we ourselves are materialistic. But help us to always carry out your work by building for your kingdom in the way that we live, in the way that we care, and so fulfill the law of Christ in the world. In his name we pray. Amen.